One, two, three, three. It's GRD Sweekly.
Where sometimes we don't even make it through the intro before we start laughing. Wow. And oh. You even heard the practice tape.
I know, I've got the giggles.
Wow, okay.
Oh, it's going to be one of those episodes.
Sure, why not? Hi, welcome to GRD Sweekly. You know the Geek Radio Daily thing that you are listening to every Monday through Friday that's fantastic?
Of course you are.
This is even more of it, like, weekly.
We're more fantastic now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's more to love.
Yes, there is.
So welcome to it. Everyone guiding you through it this week, it's going to be the Flintstress.
My language is English.
All right.
Yep.
The man who's got to work through his anger, it's the Bruce.
I'd like to thank all the little people I stepped on to get where I am today.
What am I, a BP executive?
Well, I could say something like that, but I'm trying to be a little more serious in life. Hi, I'm Billy Flynn.
Are you just going to joke your way through your entire life?
All right.
It's worked so far. That's worked so far.
So, hi. Welcome. We're gathered once again here to be with you. Thanks so much for stopping by. And I guess the question is, what have you been doing geeky this week?
I've been doing lots of geeky stuff this week.
Such as?
Well, let's start with the biggest thing in my life. You may have known that I've started roller derby.
Oh, so not Facebook.
Yeah. It came up, you know, not too long ago when I was like, we watched Whip It, and I was like, I want to do roller derby. And Anna was like, we really do have roller derby. Well, I am a part of the new Fresh Meat crew. That's what we call it. And we've had practice today, or yesterday was actually our first, like, official practice. And it's really hard work. So you warm up and you stretch, and then you do like core. We do the whole like core routine together, and push ups and all of the different kinds of things before we even start skating.
Yes.
And then it's called warming up.
Lots and lots and lots of skating, and it's all the midsection, thighs and butt, and all of that is just sore and skating. And then we have to do things like different things while we're skating, like different kinds of stops and different kinds of moves and all of that. We haven't gotten to the point where we get to hit each other yet.
Yeah, you got to learn how to all the other stuff first.
Yeah. And we have to, you actually have to have like real, your own medical insurance, and then you have to have like a supplementary insurance before you can do all of the different hitting stuff. So
yeah, that wouldn't surprise
me at
all.
Yeah, but it's fun. And we practice at the same time as the girls who are actually on the team. So we get to see kind of like how it goes, and they scrimmage against each other, and we see them hitting each other. So we have kind of an idea of what we do. And I haven't fallen yet, and I kind of want to fall, but I can't psychologically make myself fall.
Here.
You know, it's like, I need to get somebody on my team to push me over.
I can help with that.
Yeah, really.
Nobody wants me to fall. So, I mean, I don't know. So I need to, the first time I fall, it's going to be like, but then I'll get over it.
Yeah, the first one's going to be traumatic, and the second one's going to be like, okay, that wasn't too bad.
But just like in a lot of sports, there's like a right way to fall and like a wrong way to fall and all these things.
I take the bumps.
Pads. You got big knee pads and elbow pads and wrist pads and helmets and mouth guards. And I feel like such a badass in all this gear. Like I could totally kick anybody's ass. And it's just awesome.
Just
I'm
wait
like,
5-10 minutes while I put it on. Hold on.
Yeah.
No, once I have the gear on, I feel like a badass. Thank you very much.
So good.
I'm really, really enjoying it. The Fresh Meats like program, the cycle takes like 3 months to complete. And then at the end of the 3 months, there's a skills assessment test. And if I pass the test, then I'm on the team. Now, you know, how much playing time I get will still depend on my relative skill to the other players at the different positions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll talk more about it as I like know more about it. But it's just like really, really, really fun. And all the chicks are totally badass and really cute. And it's just fun. Just really having a good time.
Cute, badass chicks
on
wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the stretching they do is nice.
Yeah, well, generally.
There is one called the stripper stretch.
I was not going to say that, but yes, there is.
Mm.
And yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Fully clothed.
Well, yeah, but still. Yeah.
Well, at the rehearsal,
Fully clothed in the, you know, tight spandexy on the floor after having, sure.
And we're
sweaty.
Billy Flynn got to come to practice yesterday, so he got to see us in all our glory. So.
Pretty much, I wish, pretty much every practice is how that's going to be. Thank you.
As many as you can make it to, sure.
Just call me when there's a stripper stretch and I'll be there.
We've also been watching TV. We watched the final episode of Glee, and it definitely did not end how I thought it was going to end.
And good for them.
Yes,
it was
really
definitely
good.
A good twist.
I really thought, and this is, okay, if you're not watching Glee, this is not a stupid joke on my part. I was really hoping Oral Intensity was going to win.
So basically...
Inappropriately, are you kidding me? You named it this? Oral Intensity.
Yeah, basically the group that was not in the major competition.
But we saw
two.
Them standing on the stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we heard like a little bit of one of their songs in the background.
I really thought it was going to be them.
That would actually be kind of funny.
I really thought that they were still, you know, going to, you know, shocker, spoiler, going to come in last.
I already ruined it for everybody on Facebook.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's also a week old.
Yeah.
I know.
So, you know, I really thought they still would have come in third. But, yeah, I thought Oral Intensity was going to win and that neither one of them would win. So they'd have something, you know, next year we're going to claim. Yeah, right. Because they were so busy squabbling that this other
team came up and
I never heard Olivia Newton-John, who was hysterical, say a bad thing about Oral Intensity.
Yeah, she was so funny. She was hilarious.
Who are they? Don't they have clothes? Are they money?
I mean, it's for the
development. Only one group.
Sue Sylvester being more of like a human being because she was the one who eventually, you know, kind of gave in and let them have another year. But she's a better character when she is in like raw mode.
Ah, but they specifically showed us for that. The reason is because at that moment she's like, oh, you know what?
Wow.
I do need somebody. That was a complete serious moment when she was right there at the end.
I
when she's like, someone that I can come and squash at any time.
I think it was more that she felt sorry for them but couldn't show it. She said she actually felt sorry for him because she actually wrote them as first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she does have she has a cream puff heart. She really does. Yeah,
but she's got this badass exterior that she has to maintain.
But the scenes with her and her sister are some of the most poignant moments on
touching,
TV.
Yes.
Really, really good stuff.
And then at the same time, she'll turn around and threaten to, you know, punch you in the face after you love a cat.
Yes.
Because that's how Sue sees it. Thank you.
That was a visual joke.
It was, but it's still funny.
You kind of got what you did.
We've also watched some more of The Big Bang Theory, right, since last time we had the show?
No, never mind. Burned through the two seasons.
I know. I can't wait for more Big Bang Theory. I feel like this TV show is like changing my life, so I love it. It's super, super fun. Like, I did a news story for the GRD Daily Show just because I thought it would be on Sheldon's whiteboard. I don't know. I looked at that. I did like a physics story.
Yep.
Just because I was inspired by The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that was this morning.
Yeah,
this morning. Yeah. And, let's see, I had a friend who's getting married, so I went up for a bridal shower.
Oh.
And my friend and I ended up MSTing the whole thing. We just like kind of sat off to the side, like making comments about it. And I was just cracking her up left and right. So it was just, you know, we found the fun in it.
And then, she's wearing white.
Not that.
That's a funny
bad.
Commercial. Have you seen that? Is that what you're referencing?
Well, that the fact that
Twix
most,
commercial?
Yeah. That's actually a funny Twix commercial that's got that in it. Have you seen that?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh my God. The dude, he's sitting there cracking with his friend. He's like, oh, like she's wearing white. And dude's like, can you tell me why my daughter shouldn't be wearing white? And then he gets the twigs. He's like,
it's like, you know, need a moment to think it over or whatever.
Well, because of her colors, I think she should be in earth tones, don't you?
Yeah, she's
like,
an autumn.
You know, she brightens my day too. Yes. It's pretty damn funny.
Went to this really, really kick ass. Like party, it was. I want to say a house party, but it was like you
but
know,
kid and play weren't
party.
There.
What? But no, it was
no
like a huge outdoor lawn party. They had a pool and they roasted a pig and they had an ice luge. I haven't had an ice luge since like college. If you're not familiar with the ice luge, big block of ice, cut a channel in the ice, pour the alcohol down, drink said alcohol.
Club Dread,
done.
Watch it on Club Dread.
Yes, so much fun, and that was just
and just watch Club Dread. It's fun.
Beer pong, flip cup. I was terrible at flip cup though. I think the table was tilted. I'm gonna blame the table.
Oh, we're gonna blame
I'm
the table.
I'm gonna blame the table, but it was pretty fun.
Gravitational pull.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, we'll go
with
that.
I'll blame it all. Then I went to church with my parents, and that's kind of geeky because...
You know, make up for it.
Yes, really.
But that was kind of geeky because my parents' church has decided to go green, and they're going to try it like once a month for a while here.
They're
totally paperless.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So instead of having like a bulletin that says like what's coming up next, like the order of events, they just put it up on like a PowerPoint.
Okay. Does that mean instead of the little hymnal we have there, do we get the big bouncy ball on the screen? Because
church karaoke?
Jesus love you, yes.
The hymnals, since they're already printed and they're reused over and over again, it's as green as it can be.
My suggestion would not have been green.
That's
where
true.
You should have logically.
That's
went.
True. It would have wasted energy. But it was just kind of all these like old, you know, blue haired biddies, you know, trying to do something new. And I was in charge. They had like reusable name tags and all this other stuff. So I was just really proud of them
for trying that.
I was just really proud of them for trying that. My mom like put me to work like as her technology assistant in church.
Even though there was no technology because they were going green.
It's a PowerPoint. They did a PowerPoint instead of the paper, saving the paper.
Oh, I see. I missed that part.
They
I don't
did the PowerPoint with the order of events instead of giving up the paper.
Huh. Look at this screen over here. That's amazing. Look at that.
I don't listen to you all that often, so it's nice every now and then when you do it back to me.
Oh, wow.
What?
Just kidding. Yeah. podcasts. I've been listening to Chasing the Bard, and Pip, if you're listening, thank you very much for episode 13. Chapter 13 is really hot. If you have not listened to Chasing the Bard, just in general, it's a fabulous story.
Yes, it is.
You should just listen to
me. Knowing now that they're together, that was a little bit awkward. you know, reading that episode, and it's the voices of Tien Pit. But only at first. And then I totally got into the characters, and it was Sive and William, you know? Mm-hmm. So just for a second, I was just kind of like, ooh, okay. But, you know, like
yeah, that,
peeping
that was,
Tom,
that,
like spying on somebody's relationship.
All of my actors as the people they really are, not their characters.
Well, no, yeah, but that's the thing, they are actors. So I did get, you know, into the scene very quickly, but it was just kind of at first, I was a little bit like, ooh, I don't know.
So how into the scene did you get?
I'm not telling you. Goodness gracious, the Bruce. Moving on. Speaking of podcasting and...
Yeah.
What?
That was for you.
And then I've been reading Patrick McLean's Stories I've Told Myself. He podcasted, and I can't pronounce it. It's in Gaelic. I'll have to look it up on how I can see it in print, but I don't know how to say his podcast theme. And then he published a book of the short stories. It was like an episodic podcast. Yeah, yeah. And he is just so funny. All these different ones, I've just been laughing. And he has this one about this redneck video game where a bunch of rednecks go to Paris and they're rebuilding the Eiffel Tower. And it's just really, really funny. So if you haven't already got that, you can get it at Amazon. It's Stories I've Told Myself by Patrick McLean, and I highly recommend it. I also finished reading, it's like Vladimir Todd, The Chronicles of Todd or something, The Chronicles of Vlad or whatever. It's like a young vampire story, but it's a boy. He's in the eighth grade. And so most of the vampire stuff that I've read has been from the girl's perspective. So it's kind of interesting to read like the guy's take on it. Like he has to drink blood, but he doesn't want his friend to see. So his mom puts like little blood capsules in his PB&J sandwich, and because he goes to school and stuff. Like,
oh, wow. He just hides sunblock.
He's not like super.
Because, well,
it's not the mythology of him burning up. It's the mythology of just like sunblock.
Bram Stoker established with Dracula that vampires could be in the daylight. They're just not nearly as powerful.
Oh, okay.
So it all just depends on which canon you subscribe to. So, but he in this particular universe, yeah, he just needs some protection. In
SBF
order to
1 billion or something like
but
that.
But it's kind of, it's interesting a little bit. It's really like for younger kids, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of young adult is, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it was okay. I may try the next one. It is a series. It's a long series. I may give it one more shot.
They don't make
that
just
goes.
One book for kids anymore. You've got to have your new possible franchise.
Mm-hmm. You got to get them hooked. And
three books have already got to be written to get one published.
Yeah. Big fan of soccer, so I've been watching a lot of the World Cup.
Really?
Caught the U.S. England game in a pub. Went to a bar to watch that. But then,
so you love that goalie, right?
Thank you. We'll take it.
We'll take it anyway.
He
got distracted by all those damn horns.
Right? It sounds so loud.
That is so annoying. Okay, I'm not a soccer fan, I guess you'll say.
Yes.
But you know, you're into soccer. I go to your games and stuff, and so I watch. I have a better understanding of the sport than I did even when I played soccer for one game. our coach canceled our team. That's how bad we were.
Oh wow.
We had four practices, one game, boom, done. But stuff like that, no. That's not how you get more people to join in with you. Because if I want to watch a bunch of drunken, obnoxious people, well, hell, I got football season coming up. American football, damn it!
Really?
See, here's the thing. The World Cup is not being broadcast to get more American fans. I mean, I don't know that all that many people care how many American. I mean, we want America is the melting pot, and a ton of quote-unquote Americans are really into soccer. Just because maybe the white rednecks of America aren't into soccer. I mean, I don't really care.
Where did you get all that from?
Are you
from?
Defending white rednecks now?
Apparently. I didn't realize I was.
No, I wasn't calling you a redneck.
No, but apparently I'm defending them and their right to not like soccer.
You don't have to like soccer. That's the point that I'm trying to make, is that it's okay to not like soccer. We don't need you.
Wow.
I didn't mean you. I don't mean you. I mean the big you. We're not
Universal
having a fight
you.
On Geek Radio Daily. I just mean that. And the horns, I kind of just tune them out because I'm watching the game and like I barely
That's
even like notice hearing
them. That's geekradiodaily.com.
And these people are super huge, crazy fanatics. I mean, you see their wild, crazy outfits, and they're going like crazy, and they're beeping the horns, and they're doing all those things. And it's just kind of like there are people who are that crazy about soccer here in the U.S.
Yeah, you know what? They're NASCAR fans.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. But what's geeky about it in the way that I'm doing this is that in school, I've been wanting to watch the games, but I've been in class, teaching my kids.
Uh-huh,
and so our lessons have been World Cup. And
in English, ladies and gentlemen.
We watch it in English and we...
we watch it in English.
In English class, yes. Well, no, I mean, I figured I can get away with it because we could talk about like where the different countries are and we could talk about like diplomatic
Which,
relations.
Of course, is
English
still.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. It's soccer for this week. And I found it. It's like ESPN.com and you can ESPN3.com and it'll stream live. Except
I was hoping it was the Ocho.
The Ocho.
But no, we keep having problems with the feed. It has this little bar that it looks like you can control control the video quality. You can choose like small, medium, large video quality. No, it just gives you whatever video quality you think you can handle at the time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time it would give me what it thought was really, really high quality, and it was gorgeous, but it was showing it like frame at a time. And I would have much preferred to have low quality, but have the actual movement of the game. And it wasn't giving me the option to control that at all. And that was kind of pissing me off. Plus the sound was getting a little bit choppy. I think as more and more people are figuring out how to do it, the bandwidth is
getting
so
torn
it's
up.
Bothering me. The first day it was really, really great, and the rest of it is not. And there's tons of places where you can go and you can pay to stream it live, and I'm just like, oh, only a couple more days.
No.
Friday's going to be the real deal, because that's the next time the U.S. plays, Friday at 10 a.m., and I will be in class, so I don't know exactly what I'm going to do.
You guys still have class on Friday?
Yeah, we have a half day on Friday. Maybe I'll just DVR it, and I'll, you know, no, don't tell me the score, and see if I can get home and just watch it.
Would that be the DVR option that I said you should
do? You
did,
yes, but I hadn't been interested in doing it up until now.
Okay.
I think that may actually be it on my list, I'm sure.
Really?
Oh, wait, no. Oh, my God.
Really?
Wow.
I was going to let it get to it and miss it. I'd nail it.
No. I can't believe I almost forgot this. We went to see the A-Team.
Yes.
And it was awesome. Oh, my God. It was so much fun. If you were even a little bit a fan of the original TV series, you would absolutely love this movie.
I don't think you
even
have to be. You know?
Even if you weren't. It was just fun and awesome.
If you are, you're going to enjoy it on a whole other level.
Yes, exactly.
But you don't need to know anything really about the A-Team.
This is a great action film.
I don't think anyone in the world doesn't know the basics of the A-Team enough to be able to get behind this, because who doesn't know it's a bunch of people, there's a plan, and there's an angry black man with a van and a mohawk.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
I had a friend who thought that the actual character's name on the show was Mr. T. I was like,
no,
what?
They apparently didn't watch the show.
No.
Apparently didn't live any time from 1980s through now.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it was so much
fun. Your friend
fun.
Is a fetus.
This was the first movie. Wow. And I know it's still really, really early in the summer or whatever, but we saw Iron Man 2. I would watch the A-Team
this
again.
This is better than Iron Man 2.
Way before Iron Man 2.
This is
like,
so much better
I would
than
almost
Iron Man
2. Go see it in the theater again, and I definitely will have to own it on DVD. I gave it 9 pants. What did you say?
Wow. That's
yes.
a much different rating than what you're talking to me about.
Wow, that's a little
the
higher than
further
that
I get away. Wait, what did I say?
I'm not going to tell you now because you said 9.
I think I meant more like 8 or 8.5. But I really had a fun time. I really did have a fun time. Like, I really want to go see it again.
I like the story. It was a great origin story.
Yeah.
It's the origin story they didn't tell in the show.
Yes.
It's they always glanced over it. The 4 teams the special mission that we talked about on the show one time.
Yes.
About why they really the
because
mission they went
gave
to.
Hints every now and again, but we never got to see any of that.
Yeah, exactly. So you not only did you find out how they all got together in the first place, but then you get the actual crime that happened.
Which is crazy. I just thought we were going to skip all that.
Yeah, I was expecting that as well.
Or maybe I thought, okay, we might get that and then just move on. I didn't realize they're actually going to establish the characters.
There.
And that alone is why this is worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is
a lot of the scenes in the trailer, okay, sure, they had the tank and him shooting in the tank, but most of the other stuff was in the city, kind of.
Most of the stuff in the trailer is like in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Which is great.
You have seen none of the movie if you've only seen the trailer. You have not seen anything of what this movie has to offer.
Exactly. It was very good. There were a couple things that, there was a plot point here and there I kind of, yeah. But the one thing I actually did not like was Charlton Copley's accent.
Really?
Yes, because he slipped into the South African accent every once in a while. There were parts of the plot where he was supposed to, where he was playing the cameraman and things like that, but the first helicopter ride, he kind of slips into it once or twice. And he goes, and that's why we lose. He goes from that Texas, almost Southern accent that he's supposed to have to the South African accent.
There was a Murdoch
always kind of talked in a kind of a weird way, and I just thought that was, it just sounded to me like he was going, okay, instead of, and now we're going to do this, it's, and now we're going to do this, you know, I didn't even make that connection.
But that, yeah, the South African accent he slips into every once in a while. It could be, you know, they could be playing it off like that. He was great in it. They all were. Oh, my God, they're all great in this. 8 pants is my rating. Definitely 8 pants. Strong pants.
I'll settle on 8.
Strong
8 pants.
I really had a great time. If you are a geek and hey, you're listening, the shout outs, the little Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. When I saw Reginald Barkley's name in the credits of the movie that Murdoch was when they went to watch the movie.
Oh,
when Murdoch shows the movie in the mental house, the mental place,
and the
movie's coming up, the credits, the first name is Reginald Barkley.
Really?
Yes.
I missed that
and
one.
I
heard the music.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there's the music. I was like, Reginald Barkley?
That was a nice
That was
little,
so fantastic.
I wanted to see the other you know, the other ones, because I knew there was something going on with those names that was a little goofy. I missed the first one. I like how they kind of got rid of the original A-Team because they squashed the van within the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, you've seen the trailer, so.
You can't park there. That's handicap park.
That's a handicap. Oh, my God.
Oh, the
chemistry between them all was fantastic. Yes. I got to say, I thought Rampage Jackson was going to lose me there for a moment, but no. Oh, my God. That's actually a really good.
That was a good job. He did a really good job.
That was a really interesting character arc for B.A. Baracus, and that's words that I never in my life thought I would say.
Yeah.
Never in my life.
Could Bradley Cooper's shirt be off for more of this damn film, though?
Well,
I don't mind.
He's practicing for Twilight, so.
Oh,
you know.
Wow. That's just wrong. Those words should never have been spoken.
No, I'm not serious. Don't get all excited. You're not going to see.
That was not excitement.
Taylor Lautner and Bradley Cooper with their shirts off side by side. Oh, and maybe they'll have to wash each other down.
That idea does have merit.
Don't do that. I'm forgetting. Okay. Something.
I'd like to also give a shout out for our our CIA guy who's, his name, Lynch.
Lynch.
Of course
Agent Lynch.
But he also is a writer of the film. And,
oh, was he?
Yeah.
Huh.
And another little shout out. That looks like Call of Duty. You'll get it at the time. Call of Duty. He works on Call of Duty. So.
Does he now?
that's
good.
So stuff like
that's
that.
That's good.
Jessica Biel was actually, okay, I really thought she was going to be horrible, is how I'll say this.
I thought she was going to be the Amy character at first.
I thought they were trying to turn her into it. I really do. And maybe in the sequel they will. I don't know. And I was, but she did a much better job than I thought she would. In fact, she saved the movie at one point for me because this movie is going to get not the 8 pants I was going to give it, but 7.5 pants because of one line in the movie.
What's that?
One line took me out of the movie and made me go, what the hell was that about?
Oh, and I remember.
In the little command center, and the military guys are looking at all their screens, and Jessica Biel's trying to tell them what they're doing, and no one's listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
And dude's like, oh, well, I'm going to be on bitch detail later.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What the hell was that? She was not being a bitch. You can call a woman a bitch in a movie and don't have a problem with it if you've set it up. She was not being a bitch.
I don't think
at
they
that
actually.
Particular
I don't
moment.
Think they actually meant it to be that way. I think it was meant to be a bitch detail. Like I'm going to have every shit job in the world.
And as a former military guy, I get that.
Yeah,
but
that's where I came
not,
from.
That's not what the way it was conveyed. That's not what I got. In fact,
it sounded like I'm going to be stuck with her or the bitch.
But I couldn't pin down if it actually was. And I started thinking in the middle of the A-Team movie, right there at that moment. Uh-huh. I started thinking about what the hell did he mean by that? What are they trying to say? Are they saying this? What are they saying? And then she says that wonderful line about what they're trying to do with the tank. And Jessica Biel brought me back into the movie. So thank you, Jessica Biel.
Good.
So 7.5 pants, better than Iron Man 2. And yeah, going to own that as soon as it comes out.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't mind going to see it again because
it was good.
That's
really
what you.
Fun.
That's summer movies. That's what you want.
And it's not doing great at the box office. And I'm just like
the shipping containers kind of took me out of it a little bit.
It was a little weird.
It was a little weird. It was like, wow, okay. And they
it's
didn't.
Not, yeah, it's not perfect. It's not perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very end, like in the last what 7, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, I'll call it.
Okay,
it goes a little weird, but it's fun the whole time. You're gonna
and
have a damn
the
fun
CGI
time.
Wasn't great on some of those wide shots of the shipping containers either.
Yeah, that was like I said, the shipping containers kind of threw me a little bit. It's like, and then everything. Nobody died in that. I'm like, really?
Well, it's the A-Team.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know, but seriously, a shipping container falling like 10 stories, 12 stories.
Well, there weren't that many people left, and to be fair, I believe they did kill some folk. I'm just saying, some folks were really shining in their work. That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say. So yes, anything else from your list?
That was it. That was
okay,
Bruce's turn.
That was the biggest thing of my week.
Go see the A-Team.
Yeah, go see the A-Team.
Because, dear God, it's better than The Karate Kid, and I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, wow. That's a statement and a half.
I'm just saying. By the way, welcome to 1984 again.
Right?
I know. It was the 84-84 matchup there.
Like, what the hell?
I'm waiting for the 73 matchups. I don't know what came out in 1973, but two movies are going to come out there. There are going to be remakes from 1973.
Huh. I'm going to have to look that up.
Let's see. Other things I have done this week. Listen to a few more episodes of The Secret World Chronicles, World Well Lost. It's done by Mercedes Lackey and Steve Libby. It's read by Veronica Jaguer. It's a very good story. I'm enjoying it. I still have like 2-3 more episodes to catch up completely on. They come out every other week, so. Some of the TV I have been watching, Persons Unknown. Have you watched the show yet?
No, it's, no.
Okay.
You made that sound like it's something I've even ever heard of. What
no,
is this?
This is the one where they're all, you talked about it last time.
I talked about it last time.
And they don't really know their identity. We talked about
seven
it
people that have been kidnapped and put into a prisoner type atmosphere. They're on a small town.
Oh, the thing
town.
You talked about before.
Yes.
Oh, I kind
the small town,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, actually, you had mentioned it that when it was going to be coming on that you actually wanted to check it out. So I
oh, I did?
You, yeah, I thought you had mentioned that you had actually seen it.
No, I actually haven't. Okay. Forgotten all about it, to be honest with you. That's just wrong. See, I should be able to. If I still had TiVo and not freaking DirecTV, I would be able to right now just go and set that up and make it happen.
Hmm.
Damn it.
It's like it's trying to be a little bit like Lost. That's, you
I wasn't
see
looking at you.
Notice that. A little bit like
yeah,
that.
I'm going to look
at
you when I'm doing the show.
I'm doing
the options I have.
You see this?
Well, that's you another reason hands? I'm not looking well, because your hands. Okay.
Okay. It was a little. This episode was a little trippy. But it was kind of cool. I'm going to give it some more time. The Family Guy episode, the Tootsie ripoff.
Oh
episode.
Yeah, yeah.
This is almost shot for shot. I was like, I haven't seen Tootsie in 15 years, and I still remember it for being shot for shot for some of these stuff.
Yeah, that's wow.
Stewie they Griffin. Do a tribute. They really do it right.
Oh, really? They yeah. do it.
They go for it. They really do.
Let's see. I've had a job interview at Gold Gym, and I have Woo. A second interview tomorrow.
Okay.
And other than that, setting up for my friend's first ever birthday party, she's actually 40 years old, but it's her first ever birthday party.
Okay.
She's never had one before.
All right.
So I'm setting up for that. I'm going to the gym and other stuff around my house. It's pretty much been my geekiest week.
Oh, well, okay then. Let's see. Oh, I guess you covered so much of our stuff, there's really nothing left. So I guess I'll just start with Doctor Who.
I save that for you every week.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I do.
So, kids, if you're watching BBC America stuff, you're going to want to go ahead and skip ahead, I'd say, a good three,
spoiler
4 minutes
alert,
right
spoiler
now.
Spoiler alert.
Because, oh my God, was The Lodger a good episode.
Wow.
So, so, so good. So, Doctor Who, well, he steps out of the TARDIS for a moment, and it goes away with Amy inside. Oops.
Whoops.
And it can't land.
And there's all kind of time stuff going on in this little town.
There is weird.
You forgot to set a parking brake?
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff. No,
and
there's...
quite a bit of time has passed, so the doctor has to get an apartment and, you know, kind of like live a human life.
He
plays soccer. Yeah. He plays soccer in the park with his flatmate.
Wow.
And
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good times.
But
good
at the
times.
Same time, he's got an earpiece so he can communicate with Amy, and it was just really, really well done. It had a good heart episode.
And this episode has thrown some people. I've heard this called a filler episode. No, this is one of the most pivotal episodes we've had the entire time, because in this one, we start setting up that my theory is absolutely right. Because the doctor stepped out of the TARDIS. The reason he got the flat that he did, mm-hmm. he sees a note on a window. That gives him the address.
Yeah.
And this is something that Amy wrote. Something Amy wrote after this all happened, because it's a time machine and you can do things like that.
Yes.
And he specifically says
Wild
that line.
Stallions.
That it's a time machine and you can do things like that. So at some point she's gonna have to go back to do this, and when she does, she's gonna have to go back to the beast below to make that tape to try to convince herself to get the doctor off of the ship.
And she's gonna wave to herself from the hill at the hungry earth.
Well,
and
that was in
she's
the future.
Going to Oh, I don't... But that's the future from when they were.
True.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Right.
And she's going to... There's something else. She's going to talk to her something about the one with the angels. She does something
well, the
there,
doctor,
too.
The doctor, I think, is the doctor from after all this season has happened. Because he's not wearing a jacket. He steps away with River. Then he comes
there's
in, no jacket, talks to her. So this whole thing is going to start happening. And so we're going to kick off our two-parter. So here comes my crazy theory. Inside the box. What's inside the box? I think the doctor is inside the box.
And didn't I say when we had this discussion, I thought it was Amy that was in the box?
You
or
did.
No?
You did say that.
Yeah, there's a box.
Now, I'm willing to give you that this might possibly well be a classic Doctor Who villain that I couldn't think of when we had Amy's choice with the Dream Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Could be in there. But either way, something odd happened when Amy Pond was a child. In the 11th hour, the first episode of this season, you see her, you cut back near the end of the episode to her as a little girl still sitting on her suitcase in the daylight, so it's after the doctor's left. She hears the TARDIS, looks up, and then adult Amy wakes up. That's the memory she doesn't quite have yet, because it hasn't happened from her time point. Because the doctor sometime in this next two episodes is going to go back and see young Amy Pond. That's a lock, I guarantee it. And if I'm wrong, well, then...
Well, they definitely showed a clip of young Amy Pond. And this kind of like
oh,
scenes from
really?
The next of what's coming up. There's a lot of cool stuff. And it's nice, I think, that this sort of storyline, the crack, is sort of getting close to some sort of resolution.
This could be a brilliant way...
We only have two episodes left, right?
This could be a brilliant way for them to extend the number of regenerations the doctor has. Because according to the old... series, mm-hmm. the doctor only has like two more regenerations left. And that's it. Which, if you think about it, shows you that William Hartnell was the greatest Doctor Who ever, because he ran around for something like 90 years, and then 10 other schmucks get wiped out in like 60. What's wrong with you guys? And I will say that there's a shadowy figure in this episode that at one point I thought was going, when we finally saw his face, there was a moment I was so freaked out, I thought we were going to see William Hartnell's face on this ominous bad guy thing.
Yeah.
Just threw me, because the end of the episode could lead you to that. So, yeah, yeah. Next episode, Doctor's in that box because the Doctor goes bad in the future and River kills this future Doctor gone bad, and that's why she was arrested.
Mm.
Well, or what looks like this Doctor, because it could be the villain, the Valyard? The Valyard? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Anyway, sorry. There you go. Doctor Who spoilers. I love Doctor Who, and I'm having a great time. Great time with it. I am also completely caught up on DC Comics, The Brightest Day. I had finished Blackest Night, and it ended on such an interesting note where they assert, like 12 different characters, in the other than the people that were zombies, 12 dead characters who had been dead a while that we didn't see really as zombies, were brought back to life, including, here's a spoiler for you, if you didn't see it, it was at the end of Blackest Night, so it's done, Dead Man.
Okay.
Familiar with Dead Man? I've never seen Dead Man alive, okay?
Oh, okay. That's
even in the origin story.
Life.
Yeah, he's alive, alive.
Oh.
And Brightest Day has, like, there's this white lantern that's been found, white lantern. Mm-hmm. No one can pick up, Green Lanterns, no one can pick this thing up. And there's a voice that only Boston Brand seems to be able to hear, Dead Man, giving him instructions. Basically, it's like, maybe he's the one that can pick this up, but odd things are going on. For instance, some of the folks brought back, like Aquaman, who's been brought back from the dead.
Okay.
Using his telepathic summon fish powers. Summons, like, basically a zombie shark, if you will. So something is sour with some of the heroes that have been brought back. And it's not just heroes brought back. Maxwell Lord's been brought back. JLA, former, Wonder Woman broke his neck on live TV.
All right.
Because he was a big villain. So weird. I'm actually very interested in what's going on with the main title so much. I've gone out and I've started seeking the spinoffs and the regular, in the regular issues. This is a big comic crossover that I'm enjoying. So yeah.
Oh, good.
It's good times. Good times indeed. Blur?
Yeah.
I'm something like the 900th and something in the world. Woohoo. I've played other games.
Woo-hoo. Really?
There are other games?
Oddly enough, there are. I played the demo for the new Snoopy's Flying Ace, whatever it's called. It's the Snoopy game where he's a pilot.
That looks fun.
It does. The demo doesn't give you nearly enough time to play it to really get a feel for it. However, if you've played Crimson Skies, go to this demo and just fly that plane, because it flies like it does in Crimson Skies. It doesn't teach you how to do all the tricks, but I did the tricks because I was playing Crimson Skies.
As Snoopy.
Shooting down Nazis. So, that's just...
What, Nazis?
Well, yeah. Well,
the Germans.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Germans. Well, it's the Red Baron plane.
Yeah, it's a World War One.
I'm sorry. It's the Red Baron plane, and wow, I really want to see what happens to Linus when he's taken to a concentration camp. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. You went there.
They're going to take the blanket from him? What?
Oh, you went
there.
Something
to joke about.
We don't need Linus.
That's Billy Flynn at geekradiodaily.com.
Sure, World War One is totally fine, but let's not mention them in context of World War II. Also from Gamefly, got Dante's Inferno. Interesting game. Mature rated game. You're a guy, you're coming back, Crusades type of stuff. Turns out the holy priest guy lied, all your sins weren't forgiven. Now the demon, they want to kill you off. I killed Death and ripped out his spine, and I'm using that as a weapon now. I'm having a really fun time with it. And then... The cardinal sin of a video game. When I save a game and I come back to play you, and you've had a problem and you didn't save me there and I would have to go back, no, F you, I sent it back. So I have no idea how it ends. I didn't get that far into it because I was like,
You had a bad save.
I had a bad save. And I'm completely blaming it on the game. Completely blaming it on the game. It's the game's fault.
Okay.
Because there was something weird that happened during it. Just yesterday, I picked up Battlefield Bad Company 2 because... This past week, I've been out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had school. And I've been staying up late playing Blur. Shocker. And I keep seeing my dad and my brother online playing this game. And I tell my dad, it's like the first game on my Gamefly list. And every time it's, time to get a new game, they never send me that one. Because everybody in the world wants it right now.
Okay.
So they call me this week and like, it's on sale at Target this week for like $37.
Oh, wow.
And included, which is really cool, a little code, if you go ahead and get it, that'll give you like a first couple of maps that they're going to release later free. So if you go ahead and get it, you're saving money, blah, blah, blah. So they call me, hey, we're going to get it. Last night, go to play. told my brother what time I'd be on, that I'd probably be later than that time that I told him. I got on there, shows that he left 43 minutes before that, and my dad never got online. So I played a little bit of the single player part last night.
You know, you got to get used to the controls and everything like
so
that.
So it was fun. Yeah. Yeah, good times. Good times indeed. And really, is that about it? I think that's going to be it. We watched something else, and I can't think of what it is. I cannot think of what it is, and I don't have it written down because I'm a very, very bad person. I'm an incredibly bad person.
I got nothing.
Okay, you got anything? What else did I forget to do, Bruce? What did I forget to talk about?
Oh, I don't know.
School real quick. Very quick. I am now, and I've started my next class.
Fourth class, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I started this class last night. Mm-hmm. I started this class last night while sitting at her roller derby practice because I randomly went to this site just to see what was going on and found out I was in this class. Now, originally I was scheduled for this class, but due to a, wow, just a Rube Goldberg of stupidity, the amount of money for my student loans was wrong, didn't get it. My VA benefit stuff never got turned in. I basically got yanked from this class.
Uh-huh.
Like one day, oh, you owe us money. The next day, I was yanked from the class. I was like, oh my God. And didn't even know that I was going to get back into it and randomly checked last night to find out I'm in the class. So yeah, I'm back in class again, kids. So probably Blur is going to have to slow down for just a little bit. And I think that could be my week, other than work is stupid.
From Alderaan to Krypton. From Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor. From their lips to your basement... to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
Yes, indeed it is. Sent off our little demo submission thing for the Parsecs.
Wonderful.
They said they got it.
Wonderful.
So as far as I know, everything's fine. I assume that we're nominated in the correct categories.
Okay.
Plural. I checked that, actually.
Okay.
Did you know? Okay, good.
I assume that the you could put a 30-second intro and a 10-minute audio clip. So yeah. I sent a 29-second intro with a 9-minute and 59-second sound clip.
Perfect, hey.
So absolutely. As far as I know, everything's fine. So here's what I need you to do. Find every person you can that's on the Parsec committee and seduce them and make them vote for us. I see. That's just bringing joy to everyone in the world.
Wait, if you're instructing people to give sexual favors for your benefit, does that make you a pimp?
No. No. Not technically.
A smooth pimp?
No.
I don't see why not.
Not technically.
Okay.
Well, pimping ain't easy.
No. Pimping's definitely not easy. But yes.
I'm trying to save us legally here, so no.
Oh, thank you. Yes. No. No illegal activity shall occur.
Whatsoever.
Well, I was just kidding.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I don't want to get thrown out for that one. We didn't get a win a finalist this year because we were trying to pimp it.
So we were nominated. You know, so we were pre-nominated. So thank you to the folks that pre-nominated us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. And thanks for just even being here because, well, without you, I would have had to nominate myself, and I just can't do
self-nomination
that because you know I don't have that much of an ego at all.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Wow. Okay. Doubting my character completely. Dear GRD host.
we're just obvious.
It was funny the way you said it.
I like to explain the last phone call from me. It was 2:05 a.m. After driving up from Hunt Valley, topless needles to say I do, not even remember making the call and I was sober. I'm not sure what that means.
The
from
hell?
Hunt Valley, topless, needless to... There's no comma.
Okay, all right.
There's no comma between that, so I'm reading it the way it sounds. And if you were topless, I guess
rocks.
Good for you. Tell that to E.E. Cummings. It was great to meet technically half of the host of GRD. I was less nervous this year in the new media room than last year. Shout out to Paul Fisher.
Paul Fisher!
Woo-woo!
For requesting me for my position of sound guy, though I'm not sure if I will get requested again. Had a great time listening to the new stuff and the familiar in the Chesapeake Suites. We need a bigger room. Amen,
oh,
brother.
Yeah.
I now can listen to even more podcasts between my Sigler Crack and Daily Doses of Geek Radio. Job has reduced my hours, but hey, job, good stuff. I'm still humbled when meeting all the great podcasters and authors. I got hugs from Murph, Flinstress, Misinformation, Sheila D, and probably a few more I cannot remember, maybe even Billy Flynn. Now that makes your con. Of course, I hug great.
Were you giving out hugs a lot?
Probably. I mean,
okay.
I'm a friendly guy.
Yeah.
Certainly
it's not
at the party.
You, because you're a jerk.
Friendly? Hey!
Mr. Flynn, I do bow to your geekiness, though I'm not sure we could ramble on for hours about nothing important to other people. Sir, have you listened to this show? That's what we
really?
Do.
A few things. Never put me on the spot to read out loud. I will read fast. Maybe I missed this last year, but I saw more cleavage this time. You were swamped last year and not looking around, even though I was like, hey, Rob, look over there. Tons of great cleavage.
Love cleavage.
I really should stay in the hotel. Yes. Chooch, Viv, MA, and PA, and others who did the prom. Great job. Fantastic
yes.
time there.
Highlight.
To the Bruce, again, I'm sorry to not meet you at this year's Balticon. Still not sure if I am ready for Dragon Con. What cons local would be fun as a fan? Come to RavenCon?
Yeah,
not
Raven.
That far of a drive? Good times?
Yeah.
I don't know what else is really local.
No, that's not a whole heck of a lot.
I mean, they
local.
Had things that they were advertising, obviously, at Balticon yeah. that were somewhat around, but...
Well, he comes down from Pennsylvania, so there may be some good ones in Philadelphia.
Oh, there definitely
actually,
is.
I think yeah. I just saw a couple of PhillyCon. One of our friends, Stacy from DragonCon, was just recently at a con in True. Philadelphia. So, yeah, especially if you're near Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or somewhere else, Philadelphia holds it down.
So until zombie hybrid Jack Bauer is torching me for some really small key piece of information to prevent insert ever-changing in-plot here with explosions... make mine GRD. Still not caught up in sleep. Think that might be from the little man, though, but I am con crud free now, so that's good.
Yay.
And to all the fans of GRD, I am sorry. Rob, I told you, dude.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't you, dude. So until I can generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity and have a backup plan, make mine GRD. Did I say, I am sorry? That's from Rob.
Rob, dude.
On the latest GRDs Weekly, Mr. Flynn was talking about the theories related to the Dream Lord from Amy's Choice on Doctor Who. You were searching for the identity of the classic series villain. You may be looking for the Valyard, or the Valyard, I've heard it pronounced a couple of ways, who is... Do you want to cover your ears for this, or do you want to know this? This is classic Doctor Who stuff, so you'll know about it. He was brought to life for the season 23. He's the Doctor. He exists between the 12th and final regeneration. The Trial of the Time Lord features not the 7th, but the 6th Doctor. Okay, hey, you're good now. And is a 14-episode storyline. It's a decent enough storyline. It's one arc broken up into four separate storylines, and the episodes that deal with the Valyard not really addressed till the final two installments. Whether or not you can see them without having to having seen the 12 that came before it is up to you, but it might be worth a look. I will have to warn you that the entire season is a bit of a disappointment, featuring one of the worst four-part stories of the entire classic series run. Anyway, sorry to ramble on. As you may know from the forums, I'm a big old-school Doctor Who fan. Speaking of, thanks for having Jet back on the show. She did a great job again, and I love listening to her. You can have a segment each week called Jet Reads the Phone Book, and I tune in. Oh, wait. Have I revealed too much? Well, I better wrap this time up before the restraining orders are issued. So until they do a reboot of Jaws told from the shark's point of view, make mine GRD. That's from Big Orange Michael.
Okay.
Yay. And thanks again, Jet, for coming on the show.
That was fun. I you might be right. I'm thinking it's either the Doctor or it is. It is the Valyard. It absolutely is. And how exactly that's working, I don't know, but it happened. It all happened. This all happened in Amy Pond's childhood. Why, I don't know, but we'll see. And Van Gogh plays into this.
Somehow.
He's going to leave the Doctor a message in a painting or something. We're going to see that. And he'll have to, it's a painting that the Daleks have hid because it has the big clue on how to kill them. And Winston Churchill comes in and cuts their throat, but they don't have a throat, but he's tough enough to do it. I don't know. Hey there, my geeps. Hope you don't mind me stealing a bit of virtual airtime for this, but from the last weekly of May, I gather from the Flinsters might take an interest in this. I am issuing a formal challenge to our beloved Jabba. Like the Flinsters, I too would very much like to hear a Jabba cast or possibly a Pod Jabba.
Pod Jabba.
Which sounds like, I want to know what that sounds like. So I'm making a promise that if you, Jabba, start a podcast of your own, then I will start one of mine. What say you, sir? Shall we share the humiliation? Thank you for letting me lead some of your band with my friends. This is the very best regards, because nothing less will do for all of you. Uncle Thorson. So yes, Jabba, step up. You do a show, Uncle Thorson does a show, and we'll put them side by side and let everybody vote on them. You like that?
I do.
I think that would be fantastic. The Balticon tapes, the best 3 minutes in podcast history. By the way, you didn't hire one of Nixon's relatives to manage the tape recordings, did you?
Oh.
That would be, in my opinion, an oversight and judgment. I don't think that you ever mentioned the intern's last name. No, I haven't.
No.
Have I mentioned his first name?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't think I even know it.
If it's Nixon, I told you so. Also, is Jet the new vicar? He said approvingly and with heated anticipation. I think you need to get that girl under contract.
That's we have contracts?
No. No, the Bruce. I said contract, not contact. So until the ex-presidents return our Balticon show, I'll still make mine geekradiodaily.com. That's from Craig. Greetings from the Dragon's Lair. Craig, you're too funny. Greetings from Dragon's Lair. Just wanted to point out that in a game of Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock, where everyone keeps choosing Spock, either Lizard or Paper will win.
Ah.
Paper disproves Spock and Lizard poisons Spock, and he sends a flowchart that we'll have in the shows.
That's right. I have seen the flowchart.
As to Fables of the Flying City, I went to find it on iTunes, and it looks like it has some significantly been out more than three episodes. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but the feed goes back to November of 2005 and has 218 episodes. Apparently a very short story. Well, I mean, we've been to this every year at Balticon. In fairness, the current short story is only up to 3 episodes. So until there's a 3D printer in every home and a 3D TV in every living room, make mine GRD from the Dragon Master. Thank you, sir. You've got your fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, a couple of different things. It is a new story that just started that has the 3 episodes. Right. And we heard the first episode of the new story
there
at Balticon.
You go.
The new
so you just have to kind of look through the feed and figure out the ones that are new. It kind of says new episode 1 and new episode 2. I thought of something else that I was supposed to say during Geek Radio Daily News. So you want me to do it now, or wait, are you done with the mail?
What?
I had an idea.
We're not done with mail. We're not going to be done for mail for a while. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had an idea for how we could give away Murder at Avenon Hill. All right. We all know, you know, our favorite author, P.G. Holyfield,
right?
Writer of the... We know that the P is for Patrick.
Right.
Can our listeners guess the G?
Oh, there you go.
I know it. You know it, right?
Right.
So can you guess what the G stands for, P.G. Holyfield? So go ahead and send that directly to me, flinstress@geekradiodaily.com, or you can leave us an email, 206-3-FUN-HECK, and I'll just do it that one time, and I'll do it again later. But if you can guess the G in P.G. Holyfield.
So all the correct entries, we'll do a random drawing?
We'll do a random drawing.
And if no one gets
it's hard. This is a hard one.
And if no one gets it?
They don't have to come up with something else.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So now, moving to voicemails.
Hey, GRD, it's Darren. I was just listening to Off an Island, and I don't know, I'm sure that references something, I don't know, some weird show, I'm sure. Sorry, never got into it. I do want to comment, though, about Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor. I was home a while back, and I apologize if there's any beeps going on, random text messages. Anyway, I happened to be home, and I caught on BBC America the 11th hour, first episode, and I gotta admit, I really, really, really enjoyed Matt Smith. I wanted to comment because, you know, there was a discussion going on about the internet backlash about Smith. I gotta admit, I think he is fantastic. You know, now again, I thought it was great. I really thought he was great. And I gotta be honest. I guess you would say Eggleston is my doctor. He's my first. But, and, you know, I gotta admit, I've honestly liked Eggleston a little more than Tennant. Now, I'm not all the way through Tennant yet. But I don't know. I just like Eggleston better. And I honestly like Smith better than the both of them. And that was just through the one episode. I mean, I'm sorry. You know,
don't be sorry, man.
But, you know, fish pudding and bow tie. Come on. That was just great. Now, I'm extremely curious. I'm behind, but I don't mind spoilers. You know, I listen, you know. So I'm curious about, you know, Amy and the Doctor and Rory. But it's like, okay, I'm along for this ride. You know, I think he's fantastic. I really wanted to show a little love for the 11th Doctor.
Good man. Good man. I think Matt Smith is doing an amazing job as the Doctor. Someone pointed this out on the forums at geekradiodaily.com that something he has is that fumbling, so well done in this episode, that fumbling of not quite grasping humanity in places. And something that's honest about David Tennant, especially if you go back and watch the last year and a half of David Tennant, is that he got far too cool as the Doctor, I think, is what it is for me. Because the Doctor is always sort of an outsider. He doesn't quite fit in.
He's not human, and he's been in so many different time periods. You know, the whole, like, what do we say in this time period? You know
right,
what I mean?
Is
that
interesting.
Kind of stuff. What does a normal bloke do?
Right.
Football in the pub, you
and,
know?
You know, to be honest, to be fair, a lot of that is our script writing now is being done by somebody different who's probably paying more attention to this. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. David Tennant, fantastic time. We wouldn't have the show without him stepping up and taking it over from Eccleston and making it what it is. But yeah, I'm really enjoying Matt Smith as the Doctor. Very much so. Indigo's got a weird thing to tell us.
Hey, guys. This is Indigo. I was just listening to the last weekly, the Balticon wrap-up, and it's funny when I've heard people point out stuff that really exists that you think is ridiculous before, and I can't think of any specific examples, but you were talking about trees in space being ridiculous, and I was surprised because I actually have something that is exactly that, which is the Webtoon Space Tree, or something to that extent. I will post a link in the forums. It's a pretty funny Webtoon, but yeah, it exists. Space Tree is a real thing, which I was excited to be able to call in and point out that there really is something that ridiculous on the Internet, but you can find anything on the Internet. Anyway, hope you guys are having a good week, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
What kind of space fruit do you suppose comes from a space tree?
Space apples.
Star fruit.
Nice. Jonathan's checking in with us. Of course, I spelled his name wrong, so it looks like it says Joan Than. Sorry, dude.
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan. I would say from Birmingham, but I got my aunt butt kicked out of the Tartar, so I'm floating somewhere near Jupiter, I believe. But I just wanted to say that on the one show where you were doing birthdays, and it's Anderson Cooper's birthday, I think, when he turned 43 on the 3rd, I believe. Okay. I don't know if I told you this or not, but my cousin, who worked for Turner Broadcasting, who owned CNN and all that, she was there for the presidential debate before Obama became president and started messing everything up. She was there, and she was helping Anderson Cooper, and come to find out Anderson Cooper is gay, and I don't mean as in being a happy, the lucky boy, as in Robin Hood man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
Breaking story.
Because my mom, because she has the, as you put it, the screaming tie split for Anderson Cooper. So just wanted to let you guys know. Keep up the good work. Hope I hear a weekly shit soon. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Okay.
Everybody?
Okay.
Anderson Cooper is gay.
Okay, big deal. First, if he was straight, you think your mom still had a shot? And
oh, damn!
You don't know his mom?
Not really.
That is what we call a dick move.
But
wow.
Let's.
That's
see.
The Bruce at GeekRadioDaily.com.
Well, we're all getting one email today. That's
apparently
fine.
So.
Yep.
But Anderson Cooper is gay. Okay, he doesn't come out with it much. He doesn't talk about it. Big deal.
Well,
really?
it's like, and I'm not saying
it's not
that
a shocker.
And I'm not saying that he is, but like Kevin Spacey has never answered rumors one way or another because what does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's not who I am, and that's not what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard stories about, you know, rumors or whatever about Anderson Cooper being gay, and all I can remember thinking
he's confirmed that though.
I think it is, but I mean, even before it was or whatever, and I was always
I don't care.
Whatever. And just because your mom... Okay, fine. So your mom turns men gay is what you're saying to me. I'm sorry to hear that, Jonathan. I'm very sorry to hear that.
I'm glad I insulted his mom because I won't turn gay.
And I have no idea how to clarify this last one at all.
Schnarr, schnarr. I hope the Thunder Cats are being Gabby Good and plenty of them. Schnarr, schnarr, schnarr. Oh, my heavens, I cannot believe that they are doing a show with this again.
Apparently someone's upset about the whole Thundercats redo.
Redo, yeah.
Snarf, very, very, very
apparently
unhappy.
Apparently really, really kind of snarfed off about that.
It seems so. It seems so. If you're snarfed off at anything, or just having a snarftastic time, won't you drop us a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Fletcher Solid Geek Radio Daily.
Snarf that up.
I did, man. I don't know what the snarf's wrong with me. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
What is that?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time for me.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Thank you.
You don't look good.
I don't?
Well, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my butt. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Fit Club. It's all the geek without the weight.
Look at you!
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about diabetes. There's actually two types of diabetes. One is the genetic condition where your body's beta cells do not produce insulin. And the second type is caused by obesity and pretty much too much sugar intake. You basically burn them out.
Or living in the South, as it's called.
Not just living in the South, eating in the South.
A ton of my family
fried food.
Gets diabetes, and so it's living in the South.
Okay.
If you move to the North, I'm just saying pig pickings are a good way to increase your chance for diabetes.
Okay.
As fun as they are and as tasty as they are.
It's a lot to do with the diet and the fact that the obesity level and such. Of the estimated 26... Oh, of course, my computer screen goes like that. Of the estimated 26.8 million people,
you calling me fat?
26.8 million people in the United States who have diabetes. Approximately 90% of them are type 2 diabetics. Those are the ones caused by obesity. The reason I'm talking about this today is a recent report from the American Cancer Society and the American Diabetes Association came out on the 16th, stated that it's basically made a real correlation that a lot of people thought for a very long time, that cancer and diabetes are linked. There are a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have diabetes get cancer. It turns out that diabetics are twice as likely to get cancer of the liver, pancreas, and uterine lining. The risk of colon, breast, and bladder cancer are 20 to 50% higher than non-diabetics. There also doesn't seem to be a risk of others, such as lung cancer, and the risk of prostate cancer is actually lower among diabetics. Diabetes, for most people, like I said, that 90%, it's obesity. You have to get off your butt. You have to be active. You have to control what you're eating. Lose the weight, get active, have a better diet, and you lower the chance of diabetes and losing toes, because that happens with diabetics as well.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. 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 You. The problem is the blood flow, it gets constricted to the feet. They don't feel it because they have less nerves. Not a lot more nerve damage in the feet. A lot of doctors, you'll see these notes when you go to doctor's clinics. They say, if you're diabetic, take off your shoes and socks. They want to check your feet. So you don't.
You know people that have lost toes from diabetes.
Yeah, that's true, I do.
Yeah, and feet. They'll lose their entire foot because of the diabetics.
This is a gross one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, working out. Duh. You know what I forgot in my geeky week?
What'd you do?
All the E3 crap I've been watching. Which includes EA's got a new EA Active coming out that's now going to be on all systems and like less controller stuff involved.
Ooh.
And the Project Natal is now Kinect, and there's going to be a workout program with Kinect, so it can see the angle of your limbs. And
that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
If it can do it properly.
It looks really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff. The 3DS, whatever. GoldenEye. GoldenEye is coming.
Yeah, you talked about that today.
Yes, I did. Yeah. But God, GoldenEye is coming out. How did I forget all that? So I'm sorry. You were making a valid point when you said exercise. That just jogged it in my head.
Yeah, no problem.
Because exercise makes me think of video games.
Of course.
Exercise games. EA Active. Right. Yeah.
So, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, diabetes, it's a horrible disease that can be prevented in most people. So get yourself active. And if you actually do have diabetes and you lose weight, you can take yourself off of insulin dependence.
So you will always still have it though?
If you're a diabetic, it's like certain other diseases. You can lose all the symptoms for it, all the need for all the insulin and things like that. However, you'll always still have it.
So for every little bit of exercise you can do now, cuts down on the chance later that you're going to get it. So this is one of those things. This is the long term we're going for.
Yes,
here.
Exactly.
Do that. So, the Fit Club, you can come by the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Got a whole section there devoted to it. People asking questions, sharing stories, talking recipes and whatnot. It's all there. We need you there as well. This is episode 86. We are apparently answering some questions.
Yes, we are.
When we come right back.
How would you react to knowing with absolute certainty that an afterlife awaited you? Would you be joyous to know of your fate, or frightfully burdened by your destiny? If faith and hope are replaced with scientific knowledge, would it change how you led your life? Join Paul, an emergency room physician, and Pablo, a Catholic priest, as they are confronted with an increasing number of disturbing reports from those seeking their aid. People report that during an event where they could easily have been killed, they actually saw themselves die. The pair are all but torn apart internally trying to reconcile these two contradictory possibilities. Is a new antidepressant causing its users to actually experience what they think they've seen, or is it simply causing mass hallucinations? Join our investigators as they try and establish if the inner glow effect is real, and if so, struggle to comprehend the enormous implications they must then face. Could you handle the inner glow effect? Listen to this free serialized patio book brought to you by Craig Robertson. Go to patiobooks.com to download this tale of imagination and hope presented by this rising star of American fiction.
Hello there, boys and girls. This is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. You must be very, very clever.
How's everybody doing today? I'm Batman. I'm here at the E3 Expo, trying to improve my gaming skills. I don't think mine's working right. Los Angeles, are you ready to rock?
Your game is good.
Oh, did I play my game? What are you talking about?
Batman.
There's a Batman game?
Yes.
Whoa, what the hell? What the hell have they done now? Jeez. Can I get somebody's note? I mean, I'm suing. Hey, why is everybody bald? Attack of the Vin Diesels! Whoa! Too many Vin Diesels! It's just the beast of the world, man!
there has been a day in my life where it wasn't raining. Some days the weather's quite lovely. I don't know why they have to depict it like this. Every single time. They're making me look like an idiot. So when did Joker become a ninja? I don't want to play anymore.
Oh, no.
This game sucks. Mission failed.
Sorry.
What the deuce was that?
Somebody made a video at last year's E3,
uh-huh.
And he's going around in a Batman outfit just being Batman at E3.
God.
And it's really, really funny. I'm sorry. I thought it was hysterical.
It was pretty funny.
Welcome back. It's a GRD's Weekly episode 86, and apparently we didn't have a topic, so we're just going to answer some questions.
Yes, I emailed...
No, I mean a list was sent out to very important people who decided to ask us questions. Yes, yes, that was it.
We're going with that route?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Basically, we're playing a game called Top 3. It's a very, very simple concept. You're going to give I gave everybody a list. Some people read it. Some people didn't.
I misunderstood the instructions.
Okay. Basically, it's your top three favorite answers to the following questions. They don't have to be ranked in 1, 2, or 3, so it's not like which one's the best or anything like that. It just doesn't matter. Just give your top three
answers.
I was
like, you remember at High Fidelity when they were playing like top 5? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to play top 3.
A little bit quicker.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
What you got?
Let's see. Let's start with the first one on the list. Favorite starship? Top 3.
Ooh. The Defiant? is that a starship?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. The Defiant? Starship?
Spaceship.
Starship. Did you say starship to start
with? I said starship. It's actually spaceship or starship. Doesn't matter.
Fine. Okay. Then, yeah, it's the Defiant, it's the Firefly, and it's Slave One.
Okay.
There you go.
And you?
Well, the Firefly ship is called the Serenity, so I went with that one. Oh.
That's the name of the ship, but it's a type of ship, a Firefly class. Yes.
All right. That was on my list as well. I also had the Enterprise, which is funny that you went for the Defiant. I've always had I feel like I could be, you know, captain of the Enterprise, the flagship. And I went with the TARDIS.
Okay.
Those are my three.
I went for the Starship Enterprise from the movies 1 through 6. Okay. That's the one I grew up on. That's the one I love.
Right.
The Millennium Falcon and the Colonial Viper.
I should have went Millennium Falcon, and I should have went TARDIS. But okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, if you looked at the questions first, you were like,
If I looked at the questions, I might have actually.
You're just doing off the top of your head, so you're getting good ones.
Okay,
you know.
All right. That's fine. This one's for you.
Okay.
Favorite doctor?
Tom Baker, Christopher Eccleston, and I'm probably going to have to go ahead and give it to Matt Smith because I'm really enjoying the work he's doing.
Okay. Miss Luncher?
I went with David Tennant. He's my number one doctor, I guess, Eccleston. And I really have only seen the modern one.
That's what I'm thinking.
So, you know, I want to say Matt Smith, but at the same time, you know, if you were to, you know, show me pictures, if I just saw Tom Baker, I think of him as like iconic doctor.
Okay.
So maybe a tie between those two.
All right. I thought that you were going to go that route. I went a completely different route. Dr. Leonard Bowens McCoy, the doctor from the Enterprise that didn't have a name, the hologram. Didn't have a name. And Dr. Ruth.
Oh, you were thinking just geeky
doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I see your favorite doctor.
Exactly. Yeah, no. I knew you
I
were
went that
go
way
that
as well, too. Maybe it was because we just watched it. I liked Crusher, you know, from the Enterprise.
She's okay.
From Star Trek. Mm-hmm.
Damn it, Jim. Why didn't you pick me? Okay. Favorite geeky fake cuss word?
Well, frack you. I couldn't think of too many options here.
Frack and what the hell did they say? But see, the stuff they said in Firefly was actual real curse words, but well,
like Goram?
Goram, yeah.
That's but the thing is, that's not a real word. That's a fake word they made.
Technically.
That's a fake word they made up, so they can.
So, yeah, it's definitely Frack. It's definitely Goram, because I say Frack and Goram all the time. What's my third one?
Well, it's funny you mentioned like Snarf. What do you think? Like Smurf? Like Smurf that?
You know, I say Smurf a lot, actually.
Okay. All right. That sounds cool.
Yeah, Smurf it.
I went Frack, Felgarkarb, and Shazbot.
Felgarkarb's good. Shazbot, fantastic.
Where are they from?
Shazbot's from Mork and Mindy.
And Felgarkarb is from this little thing called Battlestar Galactica.
The original series. Well, it wasn't a toothpaste.
It was a toothpaste in the new series.
New series, but in the original series, it was...
The last tube of toothpaste, Felgarkarb toothpaste in the universe.
All right. This is one of the tricky ones I put out there, because you can think of one or two, and the third one's like, shoot. Favorite geeky food or drink that doesn't really exist?
Well, the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster.
Yeah,
that's the easy one. That's the one. That's easy.
Oh, God. What is that? The Talking Toaster in Red Dwarf mentioned this one specific bread product that it made that sounded fantastic but didn't sound real, that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. God,
I had Romulan ale on the list too. Like, just
I
should have
picked
Romulan
that one.
Ale.
I really should have picked that one. I couldn't think of that one.
I definitely would want to try some Romulan ale.
What was your other one?
Gach.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd really want to try it.
I don't
want
to try Gach.
I actually would want to try it once, just to
well,
see.
That's because
every time
you're
I eat
a
Lovain,
Yeti. And the never-ending Gobstopper.
Truly everlasting, huh?
Truly everlasting.
Or the, you know, the gum that was the food. Yeah. You know, as long as you didn't actually get stuck on the blueberries of dessert, but you know, that would be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Let's see. Top three things that you would do in space.
I had a hard time with this question. You mean like if I'm actually out in space or if
no,
I'm on
if
a
you're,
spaceship?
If you're in space. If you're in space. That's, I left the questions very, very open. So for interpretation.
I would fly a spaceship, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I would take a spacewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or so much as I would just like float there while watching a sun come up behind a planet.
That'd be pretty
while
cool.
While listening to Space Oddity by David Bowie.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
See, that's off the top of my freaking head. I want you to know that. I've thought about that before, sir.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Everybody
and,
has.
And, of course, have sex.
I was going to say sex was the first thing I thought of. I mean, anti-grav, some kind of interesting,
oh, yeah,
fun, crazy sex.
Just,
that's
well,
first.
Especially on a spaceship, we would probably be able to adjust gravity and come up with all kinds
all
of fun
kinds
things.
All kinds of fun things.
I have,
how
let's
you
see,
do it?
Have sex, fly, just basically, you know, push off from one point and just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then sleep. Just
I'm
floating.
In space.
Good How night, is that everybody. Not on my list?
Well, yeah, just sleep. Just floating and sleeping.
I think with you, it's just cool. Pretty much a given.
A given that I'd be sleeping, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Top three things that you would take on a trip to the island from Lost.
Okay.
Let me help you out with this one.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a gun,
all right,
a satellite phone, and sunscreen.
Oh, see, I want a little bit more esoteric. I wanted something to read. I thought that The Art of War would be a good, you know, kind of, you know, mental
that
thing
was,
to bring.
That's one of the few books that I was just thinking of. I was thinking of which book would I bring. And that's
I'd
one
bring
of the ones
a book,
I
for
of.
Sure. I would bring, that's the only thing I had written down on my list.
Okay.
Other than
I would also bring a towel.
You always got to bring
yes.
a towel.
Always.
Yes.
Always have to bring a towel. And I would want a slingshot.
Okay.
Because that's going to be far more helpful in the long run.
I had another book that I would also bring, you know, a book of like how to make things, you know, like an invention
survival
book.
Island.
Yeah, survival kind of, you know, how to make different things.
How to survive when you're trapped on an island.
Exactly.
All right. Top three things you would tell somebody that's going to Camp Crystal Lake.
Well, don't.
Don't have don't. Sex.
Yeah, that's exactly on my list. That's the first thing on my list too.
Don't go on a Friday.
Don't have sex. Don't go on a Friday. Do not play strip Monopoly.
Okay.
When in doubt, pretend to be Jason's mom.
Never go out alone. And when running, don't look back.
Yeah,
it never helps.
What the hell?
It's not going to matter anyway with off-screen teleportation. I mean, really.
Yeah, but it's when you look back that they get to do the off-screen teleportation.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Mm.
That's generally when it happens. You look back. Oh, where are they? Oh my God, they're in front of me. How did that happen?
You tripped and you're falling right into them.
And pay attention to the kids swimming in the lake. Don't take
because
your eye off of them.
The eyes in the back of your head have to watch your killer. Otherwise, they can off-screen teleport.
All right, this one's actually kind of a difficult question.
Good luck.
The one I had the most difficult with. Top three people that you would have lunch with that were not alive during the 20th century.
Mozart.
Okay.
Nikolai Tesla.
Okay. Was he not alive in the 20th century? I don't know.
Look him up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. God, did he die in the 20th century?
Exactly.
Oh, damn it.
Because I wanted to put Edison, and when I looked it up, I was like, wait, died in 31. Damn.
Fine.
A little bit harder than it looks. Cause
well,
I
had my one.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
On top of my
well,
head.
Three.
Fine. Then Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really want to hang out with Oscar Wilde because he just seems like he'd be a cool guy to party with.
I had Shakespeare on my list, maybe from Chasing the Bard. But I also had Benjamin Franklin.
Had him as well.
On my list. Galileo.
Yeah.
Galileo
would
yeah,
be cool.
Julius Caesar, I think, would also be. Just fun, no, you know, powerful, just sort of, I don't know, interesting guy to hang out with.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What?
Ben Franklin, George Washington, and the Marquis de Sade. Just because I...
Okay, thank you for sharing.
Yes, I'm sorry, what?
It would be interesting. Like I said, this is just lunch now.
It's true.
This is just lunch. I could sit there and have a conversation with
I have read
with
stories of
live.
The Marquis de Sade's lunch.
All right, easy one. Let's go to easy one here. Favorite game show?
Remote Control.
All right.
Does it have to still be current? Because
no,
that could good. Be anything.
Favorite game show.
Because it's Remote Control. I freaking loved Remote Control.
I did too.
And I was great at it. I also miss Scrabble that they had with Chuck Woolery.
Yes, I
that
remember that
I
one.
Thought was a really interesting take of
it
how
was.
To turn it into a game show.
It was really good.
And Win Ben Stein's Money.
Okay.
That was a fun show. I went with, you know, a classic. I went with Match Game. Love Match Game. Mm-hmm. And also around that same time, I like Password, you know, Super Password. And
Password.
All those were fun. And
fun.
What's the one with the blocks and the letters and the...
The blocks and the letters. Scrabble?
No.
Crosswords?
Oh, yeah. Blockbusters.
Blockbusters. I like that one, too. I remember. And
with
modern,
Bill Cullen.
In the modern era, it's hardly ever on anymore, but I loved Lingo. I just loved... I wanted,
Lingo
that's
was
the show
good.
I wanted
and
to
what's
be on
the
was
one
Lingo.
With Wink Martindale where you had to drop all the letters in and figure out the phrase? I can't remember...
Oh.
I can't remember what it was, but it was brilliant. I can't think of it.
Let's see. I went with Let's Make a Deal, both the classic and the new one.
Just the classic.
Don't make Wayne Brady choke a bitch.
Well, I'm not a bitch, so Wayne Brady can go choke.
Let's see. Price is Right.
The old Bob Barker.
I like the new one as well.
Well, Drew Carey's fun.
Drew Carey's fun.
I
he
met
makes
him. He's
fun.
A cool guy.
He makes the show very, very fun. Deal of the Century.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot about that.
I don't know that show.
That's 80s again, right?
Yes,
that's,
it is.
Yeah, mid-80s.
Yeah.
Wow, you could win all kinds
you
of...
You could buy stuff with your points.
Yeah, it was weird kind of... If you ever played the board game Stock Market, it was kind of of a game show version of Stock Market. You go around, you buy stuff here, get rid of it here, and... Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Favorite death scene?
Ooh. Paul Reubens and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh dear God! Yeah. Damn it! No, he didn't. You don't see him dying there. Okay, someone else got to take another one real quick.
Death. Darth Vader. On the
Okay.
Spock's death in Star Trek 2.
Okay.
And Sun and Jin.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one, dude. That's
that is a good
one.
I went with Dax.
Oh, yeah.
Crying
yeah.
my eyes out. I wasn't ready for it, and it just really, like, emotionally, just, like, crazy. Oh. But then also sort of on the other side, Tasha Yar. That was a good one, too.
That was just too quick, though.
Yeah.
It was like...
Okay.
Oh, you want to die? You want off the show, honey? Here you go.
But speaking of quick, I'm trying to remember her character's name in the most recent Battlestar Galactica, the one who was dating Apollo and she committed suicide.
Oh,
that
yeah.
death scene, that really just, that was, whoa.
Yeah, because that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
so
no,
it's
it
just,
is.
So I was thinking of someone actually just
memorable.
dying, but like death, you'd have to give a shout out to the author of Bad Twin who died on the first episode of Lost because he went through the turbine.
Oh, yeah.
Which was... always just a fun thing to see. And I guess I'd have to give it up for the security guard that gets run over by the steamroller in Austin Powers.
That was a pretty good one where he stands there for like...
yeah, that's...
All right, let's keep going. Top three characters that you would like to have a one-night stand with.
Characters?
Characters. Not actresses, not, you know, or actors for your case. Characters.
Kara Thrace.
Got my number one on my list, yeah.
Sarah Silverman is a character on the Sarah Silverman program.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Woohoo! And Jazz from The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Lauren Holly.
Oh my God, she was hot in that.
God, was she ever.
Oh God, she was hot in that.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yes, yeah.
I went with Captain Jack, you know, from Torchwood.
Okay.
John Barrowman. Yeah, he just, guys who are just fun, like, you know, fun. Oliver Queen from Smallville, uh-huh. Justin Hartley. And Captain Tight Pants Mal from Firefly.
Okay.
Absolutely, Nathan Fillion.
All right. I had Kara Thrace.
Right.
I had Samantha Marquez from Las Vegas.
Nice. Okay.
And Jadzia Dax.
You just want to have sex with Nikki Cox.
No.
Jadzia.
She's not Nikki Cox.
Oh, really?
No, she's not Nikki Cox.
There was another woman in the show besides Nikki Cox?
There was like four of them.
Really?
Morton,
okay.
Yeah.
Jadzia
Dax.
Dude, that's a good call.
Yes.
That's a good call.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Terry Farrell, hell yeah. I mean, Jadzia Dax, hell yeah.
Yeah, that too. All right.
Because I want to know
if
those
spots. Because
the
character is influenced by the actor that plays them. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, hotness and all of that.
Exactly.
But it's definitely the character, yes.
Because do those spots. Okay.
Moving on. All right. Favorite artist?
Ooh. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll start. I went with Van Gogh, Monet, and Michelangelo.
Wow. Okay.
I have Frank Lloyd Wright. I know he's an architect, but still his work is art. Pablo Picasso and a friend of mine whose name's Emily Kristoff. She does a lot of the work in my house.
See, Van Gogh first popped in my head, but I was trying not to just be like for a, you know, ooh, Doctor Who moment. But no, I mean, his colors and stuff, it's always just been
Starry Night has always been my favorite of everything.
Interesting things to look at. You could look at his paintings just, when you ever see some movies and you always see people in museums just like staring and staring from different angles and stuff. Van Gogh, I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that with him. Let's see. Wow, I don't know that I have anybody. Oh, what's the hell? Sculptor guy. Rodin.
Okay.
Rodin, cool. And last one, why not? Johann Vasquez. There you go. A creator of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Invader Zim.
Okay, that's good. We'll go with that one. Favorite theme song?
Wow.
I pulled some good questions here, didn't I?
You did, dude. Theme songs. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Okay.
Because I love that, and I'll sing that always. What else do I sing all the time? The Twin Peaks theme, because I had that entire soundtrack. I loved every bit of music, and that the music itself was a character in Twin Peaks. And What's Happening? There you go. Oh, dude.
Memorable, certainly.
Good fun times.
I mean, even before they made the movie, I've always loved the A-Team. I mean, it's just really super memorable. And, you know, gets any song you have stuck in your head, just bum, 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 it's good. I can and frequently do the entire Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's just one of my favorites
That's
of all time.
Too.
And Saved by the Bell, you know, same kind of, you know, genre there. So,
wow. Drew Carey Show, seasons 2 on.
Moon Over Parma?
No. Seasons 2 on.
Oh, no. The only
one Cleveland Rocks.
No. Only one I ever liked of Drew Carey was Moon Over Parma.
Animaniacs.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And the Addams Family.
Okay.
Classic, okay. Certainly,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Favorite songs from the band Queen?
Top three?
Top three.
Fat Bottom Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to Love.
Uh-huh.
And Who Wants to Live Forever?
Okay.
Well, I had Somebody to Love, We Are the Champions, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Bohemian Rhapsody, We Will Rock You, and Fat Bottom Girls.
There you go. Fat Bottom Girls, anytime. Comes on, anytime. That just freaking rocks.
This is going to be a difficult one because this is one of the hardest ones I had. Top three worst television shows of all time.
Aftermath, Gloria, and whatever that Tyler Perry show is. It's on right now.
Wow. I didn't have anything for this one. I don't know. I just brain farted on this and couldn't come up with anything.
Gloria, of course, being the spinoff from All in the Family that was Gloria trying to be a veterinarian with Burgess Meredith.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even remember that one. Cop Rock?
Cop Rock had what's his face from Jesus Christ Superstar? Carl Anderson, who played Judas. He was the judge. Uh-huh. And for nothing else, I loved seeing him sing songs. He's guilty. Whole jury just
that was horrible.
It was a weird idea.
Arresting Behavior, which was kind of like Reno 911 before Reno 911.
Oh wow, I had forgotten all about that show.
And The Hills.
Yeah, The Hills. Okay,
pretty bad.
You know what? The Hills will take my top three spots now.
Okay. Favorite car, real or otherwise?
The Ford Fairlane from The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, tricked out the way he had it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The Batmobile from Tim Burton's Batman, because God, I tried to win that on MTV when they did the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ecto-1.
Okay.
I went with the Aston Martin, James Bond's Aston Martin.
All right.
And I always wanted an Alfa Romeo. I don't know why. That's what just the car that I always wanted when I was growing up, because it was one that sort of seemed sophisticated and European, and like it'd be driving around in Monte Carlo. And, that's what I had.
I have any of the Batmobiles. I don't care what it's from. Any of the Batmobiles.
Even the Val Kilmer one?
I don't care.
Okay.
Kit. And the car from Starsky and Hutch is the 1975 Gran Turismo.
Yeah, the Gran Turismo. Ooh.
Yeah,
Starsky and Hutch's car. Yeah, that would be really cool.
I'd also want, I never to really drive it, but I'd want a tricked out, like, some kind of SUV with all kinds of weapons, you know, in case of the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, you always need that.
Zombie apocalypse. I'd want a backup car.
Well, you know, if you got one
from
of the Batmobiles from the TV show, they actually had, like, working mechanisms on them where you could, like, drop stuff out of the back and, like, parachutes to slow down.
And shark repellent?
No, that's only on the utility belt if you have it.
Let's see. Two more? Let's see. I've only got a couple more left in here.
Okay.
Sci-fi pet.
Okay, let's go. Favorite sci-fi pet?
K-9.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi pet. Go ahead.
Well, I had K-9, of course. And then I had Porthos, you know, Archer's dog from Enterprise. That's all I had.
Oh, really?
I have Muffet, the Daggett.
No.
I don't know. He was always cute to me.
No. No.
Lockheed.
Lockheed would be really
Kitty Pryde's
good.
Little Dragon. And Porthos from Enterprise.
Crypto.
Oh, yeah, there's Crypto.
Because why not? If I can't be a superhero, at least my dog can be.
That
would be outstanding. And Lancelot Link.
Okay.
Lancelot!
Let's go with the big one. Top three movies that should never, ever be remade, reimagined, or redone in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I read the question wrong. I thought it was that should never have been remade.
Oh, no.
Reimagined.
Should never
be. We've already done a whole show on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Should never be remade.
Okay.
Never be reimagined. Cube, because no one would ever get that right to try to do that again.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't happen. And you should never, under any circumstances, remake Memento.
Okay.
Or reimagine it. It's perfect the way it is. It's perfect.
Okay.
Well, like I said, I messed up the question. But I don't think we need any more Star Wars. Now, I know that we're doing like the Clone Wars and that's sort of like a different thing that's going on.
Yeah.
But at some point, I don't know, there's been so much messed up with Star Wars. No more Star Wars movies. Leave Star Wars alone.
Okay. I went with The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
E.T.
Okay. Yeah, E.T.
And The Princess Bride.
Yeah, you should never. Do not touch The Princess Bride. You bastards are already trying to.
Oh, you're right. Gosh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Wait, your first one again? What was your first one?
The Wizard of Oz.
I don't know. You mean the musical version of The Wizard of Oz, or just because there's going to be Oz movies?
There's going to be Oz. I'm talking about the original 1930s.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's one thing to be like in that universe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead and I got three more questions. We got time for three more?
If we do them real quick.
Okay. First thing that you would do, mind you, it's top three things, but first thing that you would do if you ever won $300, or excuse me, $500.
What?
See, $500 isn't a lot of money. I mean,
exactly.
That would just be like...
Everybody always asks you, what would you do if you won $1,000,000? What would you have done if you won $500?
$500, I hate to sound all practical and crap, but I would, you know, I would pay for some stuff for Dragon Con, put a dent in Dragon Con.
Yeah.
I would go ahead and say, screw it, I don't care if Project Natal does cost $150. Let me get that in a couple of games. Or the third one is change them all for ones and like go somewhere publicly and just throw it and watch the masses eat each other alive.
It'd be crazy. No, mine was all just practical stuff, you know, roller derby gear, or get my hair done, or, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
$500 would go quick.
Yeah, mine was take my wife to a very, very nice restaurant for dinner, save for Dragon Con, or pay some bills.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why everybody always asks about the million, because $500 is really not interesting.
That's why I want to make it interesting.
$500
bucks.
I could spend that before I get down the street.
Let's see. Favorite damsels in distress?
My favorite of all of them was Fiona from Shrek, because she was sort of locked up or whatever, but then she ended up sort of not being so much of a damsel when she got out into the real world.
Okay.
Buttercup. I don't know why I would think of it now, but not before. Buttercup, definitely. Go ahead. I don't know.
Fay Wray, King Kong.
Fay Wray, King Kong. That's a good call, sir. That's a good call right there.
How about Dale Arden from Flash Gordon?
Okay.
I'm thinking the old one, the old serial.
Right. No, I'm with you there. And what's her face? Oh, crap. Can't think of it. Never mind. Go ahead. Can't think of her.
Vicki Vale from Batman.
Stop the press. Who's that?
All right. Last question.
Like my damsels to be in distress. I like my damsels to be
out of the dress.
Fiery.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right. Final question. Top three holidays that aren't but should be.
Well, Festivus, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only one that I could come up with.
The Simpsons gave a good strong case for Christmas too.
Okay.
And what is the freaking holiday they do on Red Dwarf? I don't know. Go ahead.
National No Pants Day.
Okay, that's actually a real thing. You know,
is it? Well,
there is a No Pants Day. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually.
I don't know if it's widely observed.
National No Pants Day.
Every radio station in the world can tell you when that is because it's on all of our prep services.
Hey, it's National No Pants Day! Ha ha ha! Wacky,
yeah. Buddy.
Stanley's birthday. Better be a damn holiday sooner or later.
What do you mean? It is a holiday. What are you talking about? Okay,
a day off of school would be nice.
That'd be okay. That'd be cool.
At National Party Day, who needs a damn reason for it? National Party Day.
Okay, I thought you were thinking of ones that have been in other things.
No,
okay.
Just
I could have just made up
exactly
made up my own
holiday. Wow. Three top three holidays that aren't but should be.
Okay. Well, damn. You have to ask that question again sometime. I'll have to think of it a different way.
We'll do that next time.
So is that all of them?
That's it.
Fantastic. So if
they should have a Geek Radio Daily Day.
Damn right they should. If you listen carefully, you could write all your answers down and come share them with us at the forums over at geekradiodaily.com.
Huh? I think we're going to be posting ours.
I'll be
posting mine.
You'll be posting ours because you took notes on all of this.
Oh, yeah, I did.
It was copious amounts of notes, and it was fantastic. So, yes, that's been the show. Thank you so much for stopping by. And, hey, maybe next time we'll actually have a topic. Crazy talk, I know, right?
This was a topic.
Sort of.
It's a
good
topic.
We sent out to all the poll of all the special people.
Yes,
right.
Exactly, yes.
Geek Radio Daily, licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Once you drop by a Facebook page, and while you're there, like the page.
Like
and
us.
Look at stuff, because right now there's a $20 off coupon for Blur that you can print out and use if you go to it.
And we even posted a Daffy Duck cartoon not a couple days ago.
Damn right we did. Damn right we did. So until next time, you have yourself fun. If you'd like to contact us, please, it's Podcast Billy Friend, the Bruce Flintresault at GeekRadioDaily.com, or you could
leave us a voicemail at 206-3-FUN-HECK.
It's what now?
206-3-FUN-HECK. 206-3-FUN-HECK.
Later.
I'm gonna hit you with your own pill.
That was lame.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Audio, turd nuggets.
Did you guys put ropes around my car? Who put ropes around my car? Who's the Joker who put the ropes? Did you put the ropes around my car? This isn't a museum piece. It's my car. It's how I got here. Oh, boy. What the H? Who's got my keys? Who's got my keys? You got the keys, Jake? Well, this is embarrassing. I left the keys in my other bat suit. Doors open. Doors up. Everybody, we can turn down the music. The voice recognition will work, but it's too loud. Everybody's chattering, and I'm trying to open the door. Doors open. I left the keys in my... It's gonna get a cab. Screw it. Yeah. That was fat. That was a fat jam. That was a fat jam. Ow, jeez. Take it so seriously, guy. You know what they say, though? Once you go back, you never go back. Hey-o! Hey-o!